Welcome back to the D3 Spotlight Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the D3 basketball world and talk to players, coaches, and experts one-on-one about the ins and outs of playing D3 basketball. We'll talk stats, analyze games, or even just hear about the exciting underdog moments from players themselves. D3 sports often gets overshadowed by the D1 world. However, we are here to shine a spotlight on the talent, experience, and hardships that come with Division 3 basketball. Today, we will be talking to a very special guest, a current D3 basketball player himself, Guillermo Gasset Ruiz. He currently plays for the Emerson men's basketball team and is a sophomore. I don't want to give too much away, but Guillermo had quite an impressive freshman season and is looking pretty good this current season. We will discuss his past relationship with the sport, dive into his hopes for the future, and what the reality of being a D3 basketball player or D3 athlete in general is like. He has many stories and anecdotes to share, and I can't wait for you to hear. Stay tuned. I'd like to welcome Guillermo Gasset Ruiz to the podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming. I can't wait to hear what you have to share.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your history with the sport of basketball.
I'm Guillermo. I was born in Spain, but I lived most of my life in Germany, and that's where I started playing basketball. Now I'm in Boston at Emerson mm-hmm. College playing for,
the Emerson Lions, of course. Yeah. So what conference do you play in? What exactly is the Emerson Conference?
Yeah, the Emerson plays in the NUMAC. Mm-hmm. Some other teams that we play against that you guys might recognize are Babson, MIT, and WPI. Those are the big three, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then you also play some out-of-conference teams as well.
Yeah, right? Before our NUMAC schedule, we play an out-of-conference schedule. A big one is usually Tufts. Mm-hmm. And we also play a couple of Division I games.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, this year we played against Yale. It was
exciting.
It was very exciting, yeah.
Yale had a NBA prospect last year, right?
Yeah, last year. He did transfer out to Michigan.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's the competition we go again sometimes.
So can you walk us through the recruiting process and your experience with that?
Yeah, so everyone's recruiting process is different. Me being from Europe is extremely different because I don't get that exposure that some of the American players get, and I can't interact with college coaches like the American players can. Mm-hmm. So I had to take a post-grad year and go to Florida to IMG Academy.
How was IMG?
IMG was, it was fantastic. The facilities are like any better than anything I've ever experienced before. You have multiple weight rooms, many gyms, mm-hmm. Best coaches in the world, and the thing they have the best is the exposure. Mm-hmm. They invite Division One colleges, Division Two, Division mm-hmm. Three, NBA teams come and watch games. NBA players come to practice there. So it's great for recruitment in general.
So for the process itself, what was that like? Was it tiring at all? Did you enjoy it?
I'd say it was one of the most stressful processes that I've had to go through because how can I compare this? Choosing a college, this is something that my coach told me. Choosing a college is like choosing who you're going to ask out to prom. Mm. Sometimes it's not who you like the most, but mm-hmm. who likes you the most.
Oh, I see.
And you have to take in a lot of things in mind. It's not only the basketball fit, but also academically, maybe location-wise, and many other things that could involve choosing a college, just like a normal student, but the whole basketball thing involved.
So what made you choose to play D3 basketball?
When I had the choices I could have mm-hmm. made with schools, I had a couple Division One, one Division Two school, and then mm-hmm. a couple other Division Threes. I had to look at what I really wanted out of my college basketball mm-hmm. experience and what I wanted to do after college mm-hmm. professionally, and taking all of those things in consideration, I chose Emerson because of the career it could take me, and how I thought that I could use Emerson or mm-hmm. be in Emerson and enjoy basketball while studying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd assume you'd be able to play more in a D3 school.
Yeah.
You'd get more opportunities and playing time.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to start my freshman year and play. Well, I've started every game I've played. So that's something that not a lot of college players or athletes get to experience.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm very grateful for.
Very, very cool. How do you think, now that you've played a year of D3 basketball and you're in your second season, how would you say this compares to D1 or D2 basketball? Do you think there are pros to it? Do you think there are cons, time-wise, having more free time, that sort of thing?
Right. Well, in the game, it's the same sport. Mm-hmm. The only difference might be the size and athleticism that mm-hmm. D1 and D2 has over D3. Mm-hmm. But skill-wise, there's not that much of a gap as other or viewers might think.
Yeah.
And outside of basketball, well, I haven't experienced Division I and Division II, but I do have teammates mm-hmm. or ex-teammates and friends that play in these teams mm-hmm. Or these categories. And what I've noticed is that Division III has a lot more time
mm-hmm.
Outside of the sport mm-hmm. to be able to enjoy other hobbies or stay focused on academics and do other things.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you're from Spain. Does European basketball translate over, or did you have to do some adjusting when coming to the States?
I did have to do a little bit of adjusting. There's basketball in the US is a lot faster, a lot mm-hmm. more athletic, and a lot more individual,
mm-hmm.
let's say. Depending on what team you play for, some teams have more of a European style of play.
Yeah.
Which I think Emerson does have a lot of set plays and a lot of motions, which has helped me play from the beginning. But it definitely did take a little bit of adjusting. I think from high school to college itself, it's a lot more physical. And in college, you have to be locked in the whole game. You can't take a possession off because other teams will take advantage of that.
And then now moving to recognition, do you think there should be a larger spotlight on D3 basketball as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of game. Division III basketball is still very entertaining. Obviously, maybe not as high-flying mm-hmm. as Division I, but there are some big plays that I think could make, you know, this mm-hmm. ESPN top 10, but they just mm-hmm. don't, because who knows,
yeah.
you know, these small teams, small schools, no one really cares about mm-hmm. them.
And you guys played Yale. That was, from what I know, featured on ESPN+. What was that right. like? Was that kind of a little sample of what it would be like to play D1?
Yeah, those Division I games that we play once or twice every year, they're huge. We mm-hmm. play on national television, well, ESPN+, if mm-hmm. you got a subscription. You have the whole media timeout, the stadiums are bigger, and it motivates us more because we still, you know, we play Division III, mm-hmm. but we get these opportunities to play against these known players, the big teams,
mm-hmm.
which is we want to show that we can also be yeah. there and, you know, compete with them.
Yeah. So speaking of that game, do you have a favorite in-game moment, not necessarily from that game, but in general, since playing D3 basketball?
Well, yeah, there's a couple, some that are more, you know, from personal mm-hmm. perspectives, but I think my favorite, my favorite was our first playoff win mm-hmm. against Wheaton. It was an away game, and the game itself was a great memory, but the best part about that day was the bus ride back.
Yeah.
Just celebrating as a team, laughing, dancing, but knowing that we still have more games to go, you know?
Yeah.
So that was my favorite experience with my team,
I'd say. What about, like, an in-game moment? Like, was there a favorite shot or a favorite game that you really loved the way you played?
There's a couple of favorite play, I'd say, recently. I had a game-winning steal against Babson.
Oh, very cool.
And it was the sixth or seventh time in the history of Emerson basketball that we beat Babson. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty big win for us.
Yeah.
And they just won back-to-back NUMAC championships. Yeah. So it's
the championship of your conference.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the winner of the conference, I believe, goes to the national tournament?
Yeah, so the winner of every conference, there's many conferences in Division III basketball. Then they go on to the national championship, just like Division I would. There's three different national championships, D1, yeah. D2, and D3. And then there are also some teams that get a buy-in if they had a good non-conference schedule or did really well in their conference but just didn't win. They can also get a pass to the national tournament.
Very cool. So what's something that you think people might not realize about being a D3 basketball player? In terms of workload, effort, that sort of thing that they see with D1 athletes.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just underestimate Division III basketball or Division III sports in general. They just don't realize that it's just as hard or even maybe a little bit harder because we have to do the same things that Division I players do without the NIL money, without the recognition, without the extra help like tutors and the multiple coaches and et cetera.
Are you struggling to drift off at night? Tossing, turning, and counting sheep isn't cutting it. It's time to take back your nights with Ollie Sleep Gummies. These delicious berry-flavored gummies are your new bedtime BFF. Packed with a dreamy blend of melatonin, L-theanine, and botanical extracts, they help you relax, fall asleep faster, and stay asleep longer. So you can wake up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. No pills, no fuss, just two gummies and you're on your way to sweet dreams. Plus, they're non-habit forming, so you can feel good about making them a part of your nightly routine. Don't let restless nights ruin your days. Grab a bottle of Ollie Sleep Gummies at your local retailer or visit ollie.com to learn more. Sweet dreams are just a chew away.
Did you struggle with the shift from freshman to sophomore year at all with team changes or anything like that? How did that affect you?
Yeah, I'd say I've struggled at the beginning of the season this year, my sophomore year, because it's just a role change. Now I'm no longer the youngest in the team. I have some sort of a leadership role, mostly playing my whole freshman year. I have the same experience as most juniors or even seniors would in other teams. So that's
a lot of
definitely
weight on your shoulders.
Yeah,
that's high expectations.
Exactly. And I've tried to, that's just taken me away from my real game, and I've just been overthinking a lot of the things, I'd say. But I'm definitely adjusting and moving up.
How do you think that plays into the mental health aspect at all?
Yeah,
just staying positive and staying motivated even when a game isn't going your way or a couple games, something like that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about the mental health of mostly of a Division III athlete because we don't have all the media aspects involved and the outside criticism. But we do still get criticism and we still have high expectations of ourselves. And something I've been told is that, you know, when you don't keep your highs too high or your lows too low, in college sports or in basketball, you have to try to keep a consistent ground. And then when you're doing very well, don't get too excited because once you go, what comes up has to come down, you know?
Exactly. There are highs and lows.
Exactly.
What are your personal goals this season? How do they align with the team's goals? So personal and team, what are you looking for?
Yeah. So as a team and personally, we want to win. The team has changed from last year. Last year was sort of a rebuild sort of season, and we still made the semifinals and the playoffs. Now we have a couple of transfers, new freshmen, the same core as last year. So, you know, we just want to win games.
Exactly.
We have to win games, you know.
Of course. Do you think you're looking at a conference championship this year?
I think we have a great chance. We just beat the defending champions.
Yeah, but that's right.
We also lost to a team that might not even make the playoffs this year. We don't know. It's way too early. So just, you know, we're still a new team. Still have a lot of things to learn from. We know that we can beat the best team, but we know we could also lose to a not such a great team if we're not mentally there.
Yeah.
So I think that's both games were great for the team to learn. And yeah, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question so I can answer it?
Oh, yeah. So, like, what are your personal goals this season?
Right. And personally, I want to improve as a leader.
Yeah.
I don't try to think of my stats very much, because if I think about it, then I overthink in games. Exactly. And it doesn't end very well most of the time.
Yeah.
But I do want to improve stats as well. I want to score more points. I want to be more involved in the game than I was last year. And something that I try to challenge myself with is on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. I always want to guard the best player on the other team.
Yeah.
And something that I have in mind every game is trying to keep him under his scoring average.
Oh, okay.
So if he usually scores 17 points,
mm-hmm.
if he scores 14 against me, then I have achieved my personal goal.
So it's almost like a challenge for yourself. Yeah. Goal each game. Very cool. And then how does academics and academics and personal life play into this? So how would you how do you balance your academics and personal life as a student athlete?
Right. That's a lot of people struggle. A lot mm-hmm. of athletes struggle with this. I think the most important thing is just time management and learn how to organize your day. I organize it by priorities.
Yeah.
So I prioritize basketball
mm-hmm.
every day. So I try to lock in 2 hours of my day in that. Then I go down the list. So it would be a homework or mm-hmm. I could go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get another 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to keep in mind you have to eat.
Yeah.
You have to sleep 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then with the time after that, then do hobbies
mm-hmm.
or friends or personal time could be whatever.
Exactly. And then how do you think playing will translate into your future, even if it doesn't necessarily mean playing forever, in terms of jobs or interests in your future?
Yeah, I mean, I know businesses love to hire student-athletes because mm-hmm. of the skills they develop throughout their years.
Mm-hmm.
Being a student-athlete, you have to be consistent. You have to be dedicated. You have to have some time management and organizational skills, communication, leadership, all these things you develop as an athlete. And companies love to hire. I mean, there's a stat, I don't know the exact stat, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of CEOs in the US
mm-hmm.
have actually been student athletes before, either in college or
experience,
in high school.
Yeah.
Sports and being a collegiate athlete teach you a lot of things that you don't even know you're learning
mm-hmm.
throughout the process.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And then would you say you have any advice for a high school player that's considering a D3 program, that's on the edge about it, debating between either not going to college for a sport or playing in college, and obviously they love the sport of basketball, so what would you tell them?
I mean, if the school is a good fit and you're really passionate about the sport, then I'll just go for it. Just try. Mm-hmm. You can always transfer if it doesn't, mm-hmm. if things go sideways. But it's an experience that not many people get to experience,
mm-hmm.
that some people regret not taking, and then some people, when it's over, wish they could go back to.
Yeah.
So it is a struggle. It is a grind.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's worth it, I would say. And it's something that we have to cherish and enjoy while we can.
For sure. And then, final thing, how do you define success as a D3 athlete?
Right. I mean, success can look different to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a personal success, like scoring 1,000 points for college, or winning a championship, or even scoring 1 point mm-hmm. and getting into a game. These are all signs or ways to succeed. But I think that if you can get through the 4 years of being in a team, being a student athlete, going to practice, watching film,
mm-hmm.
going through the whole process,
of course,
then that shows success, because it shows that you stayed with it,
mm-hmm.
that you worked hard, it shows passion, dedication. So I think that's success, even if you don't play or you don't score, or
it's just showing up.
Yeah.
Very cool. I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure having you and hearing your stories.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. It's been so much fun, and I just want to wish you luck on the rest of your season, and stay in touch.
Yeah, thanks.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the D3 Spotlight Podcast. It's truly so impressive to hear the experience of these players, especially Guillermo. It really shows that these athletes put just as much passion and effort into their sport as a D1 athlete would. A big thank you to Guillermo Gasset Ruiz for joining us and sharing his incredible journey on and off the court. It's players like him who remind us why Division III basketball is so special. Pure passion, unmatched grit, and stories that inspire us all. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. Leave a review and share it with your fellow basketball fans. And hey, if there's a player, coach, or story you think we should feature next, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter to stay updated on all things D3 basketball. Until next time, keep hustling, keep grinding, and keep loving the game. Thanks for listening to the D3 Spotlight Podcast, where the heart of basketball lives. See you next week.